Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a beautiful and awesome confession Christians throughout the whole world make when they say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And yet more beautiful is the explanation of this confession in answer 26 of the Catechism. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence, is my God and my Father because of Christ His Son. And still, there is one thing even more beautiful and pleasing to the God we confess to be our Father. And that's to show in our life, as we continue to confess on this Lord's Day, that I trust Him so much that I do not doubt that He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and that He will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends me in this sad world. Brothers and sisters, it's one thing to confess this wonderful truth with our mouths, but it's quite another to live it out. To show in our life that our trust and our confidence is not in ourselves or any creature, but in God the Father alone. And that means, first of all, that we believe in Him as our powerful Creator. This is the very basis of our Christian faith. And this is the starting point of our relationship to God as our Father. And it's for this reason, therefore, that God asked Job with all of his questions regarding God's justice and his way of dealing with him. God says to him, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations?" In verse 31, he says, "Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion, these great, awesome constellations of stars? Can you bring out these constellations and their seasons?" And then he says in verse 36, "Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions?" In other words, he says to Job, your place is not to question my justice and my ways and my care over you, but to entrust yourself to my almighty power and wisdom as the creator of heaven and earth. And that implies that we understand just what it means that God is our creator. That as he says in Exodus 20, verse 11, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them." Yes, think of it. From the incomprehensible vastness of the universe, which is beyond our ability to comprehend, to the intricate detail of every flower on earth, to the wonders of the human mind, the amazing creatures of the sea, many of whom have not even been discovered yet, and all in the space of 6 days. And that He created it all out of nothing, for that's what the word create means. It doesn't mean to merely fashion or give shape to something that already exists. There are other Hebrew words to describe that. But bara, the Hebrew word for create, means to initiate something altogether new. It means to call something forth that is not. It means to bring something forth without the use of any pre-existing materials. And therefore, it's a word that is used exclusively of God, as an activity that is totally outside and beyond the sphere of human ability. Therefore, as Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. It's for this reason that Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of His might. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. This is why we read in Genesis 1, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was, and it was, and it was. No mistakes, no process of evolution, of life forms changing into others, but each created by the Word of God according to its kind. Plants, animals, man. This is the God whom we believe in. And this is so important for Christians to confess today. For in its attempt, in its attack against the very first article of the Christian faith, the very foundation of our faith, the false faith of evolution declares the universe to be the product of an ongoing process which has taken billions of years to develop. That though the law of biology declares that it takes life to beget life, indeed it takes the living God to beget life, yet somehow it says we got here by chance, as a freak accident out of non-living material. With the implications, of course, that your life is just an accident. That you have no unique value, no special purpose, no special relation to the personal God who has made you. That you are made not in the image of God, but in the image of slime. And that you are simply the product of a process that has caused you to evolve upwards to the point you are on the evolutionary ladder. And thus the world says, you set the rules. You determine right and wrong. And you are answerable only to yourself. For you have no creator and father to whom you are accountable and upon whom you can trust. What a sad, sad faith is evolution. And the false faith and heresy of what is called theistic evolution is no better. For what is it but the naive attempt to marry evolution with creation? So that though creation is still the product of an ongoing evolutionary process, we merely plug in God and say that God did it and is still doing it, even today. Even though God has clearly said in His Word that He rested from His work of creation when He finished it on the sixth day. So it's a denial of what God clearly said He did. But more seriously, it's to make God, the Creator, subject and dependent upon the very laws of physics that He Himself created, and to make Him subject to the pattern behavior of matter. It's to lock God up in the material world in which He is unable to work any miracles. And thus, atheistic evolution denies God the Father outright. But by accommodating Him to the lie, by ignoring Genesis 1 and 2 and the rest of Scripture and trying to explain it away, theistic evolution denies the truth of God's Word, which is just as much a denial of the Creator God, of God the Father, who isn't restricted to working through natural processes, who is not a God who is far removed from us, as the God of the deist declare, but who is the Almighty, as the Almighty Creator, is close to us, and who can and does miraculously intervene in this world to provide for His children. And don't we see that in the person of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came into this world in the flesh? For when Jesus made wine at the wedding at Cana, there was no natural processes there that He was dependent upon. But as His Father, He merely spoke the word. He merely said to the servants, "Fill those jars with water." And when they had done so, He instructed them to take some to the master of the banquet. It may have appeared to have been the result of a process of fermentation that took many weeks or months. But it was the product of His divine and omnipotent, almighty word. And so when He fed those 5,000 people with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. So when Jesus raised Lazarus, who had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And so it is for you and I. For how, beloved, can you possibly believe that your body, after it's been decayed and in the ground, or that of your loved one, or anyone who has confessed faith in Jesus Christ, will be raised up again on the last day? We cannot imagine how that will happen. But we do know that it will happen, that God is able to make it happen because of the truth of creation. Here before our very eyes is the awesome universe that God created. He spoke and it happened in 6 days. He brought it all to perfection. People wonder, only 6 days? The question ought to be, why did it take Him so long? And He answers that in the fourth commandment, so that He might give us a pattern for our own lives. To work 6 days and to rest on the seventh, and to reflect Him who is our God, the one who made us. So why should you doubt that He can resurrect your physical body when Jesus descends from heaven with a loud command on the day He is coming again? And for that matter, how can you doubt whether He will supply and can supply anything that you need for body and soul today? He is the one who upholds and rules everything in heaven and on earth. He is the God who intervenes in the lives of His children. Even as you children sing, I think many of you know the song, "My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that God cannot do." We are called here to have faith in Him who calls what is not as if it is. Creation out of nothing. Faith in God's awesome power as our Creator. That's what it means to believe in God the Father, first of all. But secondly, it means to believe in Him as our loving Father because of Christ, His Son. And this fact is just as awesome as the first. For who are we? Think of this for a moment. Who are we that we should call ourselves, dare to call ourselves, children of this great and awesome Creator God? You know, if Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, should think it a wonder that King David should search him out, find him, a defeated enemy, and make him a member of his own household, inviting him to eat at his table and to know the privileges of being a member of his house. Well, then how much more so, infinitely so, should we be amazed to be called children and household members of this God who is king over all. This king who is so powerful and so rich that the constellations of the Pleiades and Orion, you know what they are? They're just a couple of chandeliers that are hanging in his great mansion of creation. But this God is not only great and powerful. This God is infinitely holy. This is the God who in Job 38 says he takes the earth by its edges and shakes the wicked out. Who denies the wicked light and breaks their upraised arms. For he who is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is only the Father of us all, in the sense that he made us all, and in the sense, and is the source then and an originator of every living thing. Yes, in that sense, he's the Father of all, only as their creator. But because of our sin, we've offended this God. And in Adam, broken ourselves off from the close relationship that we were made to have with him as his children. So that all men today, all people today, are not the children of God. In the sense of knowing the Creator as their loving Father, but rather as those who need to fear him as a terrible judge. And that, it should be any different for us today, is a miracle. A miracle of the love of God performed by His Spirit in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, every day. For as John 1:12 says, it's only those who receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord whom he gives the right to become the children of God. And children born not in any natural, physical way, but children of God born by the result of a miracle. As children born of God. Just think of what that means. It means that if you are truly sorry for your sins, and that you trust in Jesus as your Savior, and that you want to follow Him as your Lord, it's because the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty Creator of heaven and earth, reached down into time and sought you to be His child, and did so at the cost of His only begotten Son. That after he gave him up for you, by giving him over to the cross in your place, he came into your life, not only working through natural means, whether through your parents, through preachers and teachers, through friends, causing you to hear the good news, showing you what it means to know this God, but by working mightily, miraculously in your heart, causing you to be born from above. A work that is no less miraculous and wonderful, says Scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, than creation itself. Then when he called out in the darkness on that first day, let there be light, and there was light. For God, who said, let light shine in the darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it's because of that we can be assured of His fatherly love all through our lives and every day of our lives. those who trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, verse 32, it says, He who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, that is, all those who are chosen by God the Father, all those who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? The story is told of a wealthy farmer who had an only son, a deaf mute, and who at great cost sent his son to an institution where the boy spent 4 long years without interruption. And during that time, he learned to speak as well as those so afflicted are able to learn. And when at last he returned to his parents' home, he stretched out his arms to embrace his father and said with a clear and distinct enunciation, My father! That father was so overwhelmed that afterwards he said, If I live to be 90 years old, I will never forget the moment my boy said, My father. Beloved, it is beyond us to imagine how it could be so. How it could be with so great and mighty a God. But our Lord Jesus Himself says that there is joy and there is celebration in heaven and upon God's own throne when those led by the Spirit, when one, even one led by the Spirit, returns, repents of their sin, and returns to Him, calling upon Him as my Father who is in heaven for Jesus' sake. That's the comfort that only those who belong to Jesus know, as they know God not only as their powerful Creator and not only as their loving Father, but lastly, as their faithful provider. Brothers and sisters, can you say, with the intensely personal terms of the Catechism, that I trust Him, that is this God, so much that I do not doubt that He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and that He will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends me in this sad world. What is so beautiful about Job 38 is that we see that our Father Creator is not far removed from our world, but is at work personally in both the world and in our own lives. And so He says to Job in verses 22 through 27, Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water the land where no man lives? To satisfy a desolate wasteland and to make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? Who provides food for the raven when its young cries out to God and wander about for lack of food? You see, it's not just the laws of nature at work, the ordinary pattern behavior of matter, but our Almighty Father for Jesus' sake. Even adversity, as we confess, He, my Father, sends me, which because He is my Father and sovereign over everything, will somehow turn to my ultimate and everlasting good. And don't we see that with Job? Afflicted by Satan for being righteous, but afterwards being restored double by the generous hand of the Lord. Job understood that what was happening to him was not outside God's will. And so even Job's wife would be able to say, yes, we can accept good and even bad from the hand of the Lord. No wonder then, Jesus calls us in all of our needs, in all of our situations, and whatever situation we find ourselves in, to pray expectantly for all that we need. For which of you, fathers, he says, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What confidence we can have knowing that no matter what obstacles we may have to face, this God, as our Father, will provide for us, will help us and guide us. As even Emerson could say, all that I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen. He is able to do this because He is Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And just as wonderfully, He desires to do this in the lives of His children, because He is a faithful Father. One Scotch girl understood this well when on her deathbed someone asked, what if the Lord should leave you? Are you afraid of that? And she answered by saying, He would have more to lose than I. I would lose only my poor soul, but He would lose His honor. Indeed, for He would fail to be the God then that He has revealed Himself to be, which is impossible. And so we confess with believers everywhere and always the power, the love, and the faithfulness of God our Father. Truly, this is a great and an awesome confession indeed. Amen.